The National Climate Risk Assessment warns millions of Australians are at risk from rising sea levels and heat-related deaths unless climate change can be limited. According to the landmark report released today, the number of heat-related deaths in Sydney could surge by almost 450% if global heating surpasses 3 degrees. The comprehensive assessment also outlines the risks of longer fire seasons, extreme downpours, rising seas and mega droughts, with flow-on effects for health, food and water security, infrastructure and livelihoods. It comes as the federal government prepares its 2035 climate plan and bids with Pacific nations to co-host the COP31 summit. I spoke to climate expert at Greenpeace Australia Pacific, Dr. Simon Bradshaw, who says the government must respond with stronger climate targets and a rapid phase out of fossil fuels.
This new risk assessment does paint a very frightening picture of our future if we continue down the path of fossil fuels. There are many striking numbers in there. One is that heat-related deaths in Sydney would increase by 450% under a scenario that sees warming of 3 degrees, which is roughly the trajectory we're on at the moment. We'd also see a massive increase in the stress on our marine ecosystems. This is coral reefs. These are all these things that are so important for our sustenance and for our communities. We'd also see 1.5 million Australians at risk from sea level rise by mid-century, and that would rise to 3 million by the end of the century. That's just some of the numbers that are in here. But one of the most important things to take out of this report is it's very much still our future to choose, because there is a profound difference in the impacts that we see at those high levels of warming through continued burning of fossil fuels, through failure to take strong enough action, and what we see if we do everything possible to limit warming to 1.5 degrees. Now, this report comes just ahead of the government setting its new climate plan for 2035. And it's very important that that target is strong enough to keep our communities safe and that we are working to phase out fossil fuels.
And we've already reached or surpassed the benchmark of 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels. And as you mentioned, these impacts in the assessment were kind of modelled under the scenarios of above 2 degrees or above 3 degrees. How quickly are we approaching these in real time?
Look, we are minutes to midnight. We really are teetering on the edge of very serious consequences, because if we push our climate system beyond these tipping points, these one-way doors that we don't want to go through, that we'd see sudden, abrupt and irreversible changes, then of course that is a whole world of pain for our communities and ecosystems down the line. Importantly, yes, we last year temporarily did see temperatures rise to 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels. We've not yet hit a long-term average of 1.5 degrees, although we are perilously close. And so that's why this target that Australia's about to set is so important. And if we look at the science, if we look at Australia's fair share of the global task, we should be aiming to hit net zero emissions by 2035 and have that be accompanied by a fair and fast phase out of fossil fuels. Because every ton of carbon we leave in the ground, every fraction of a degree of avoided warming, that is lives and livelihoods saved, a safer future for our communities and ecosystems. It's the steps we take right now that are going to be so consequential.
And it's quite timely, especially in the last couple of days, we've seen the approval of the Northwest Shelf. And the government seems to have delayed in releasing the report. Why does that matter, or why is that so concerning?
Well, we have to say right now, the government's credibility on climate is hanging by a thread. Now, this is disappointing because, of course, they were elected with a very strong mandate for stronger action on climate change and a thumping majority to work with. What's in this report is essential information for communities to be able to plan for the future, to build their resilience to the impacts of climate change. This report should not have been held back. And of course, it is a crucial input to this decision around Australia's next climate targets. Approving new fossil fuels in 2025, or extending the life of our largest fossil fuel project, in the case of the Northwest Shelf, that flies in the face of the science. I mean, that is a slap in the face to vulnerable Australian communities and to Pacific communities throughout our region in particular, who have fought so hard for stronger action on climate change. We can't go down this path. It's not only a profound risk to our future safety, it may even put us in breach of international law. through this landmark ruling from the International Court of Justice, that made clear that continuing down the fossil fuel path is an internationally wrongful act that actually risks future claims of liability from vulnerable communities. So that's exactly the opposite of what we need to be doing right now, which is to be mustering all our strength, all our opportunities, heading for a fair, fast fossil fuel phase out, listening to those communities on the front line, meeting the moment, and doing everything we can to create a safer future for communities here in the Pacific and around the world.
And it's we no longer understand climate change in the way of just physical environment changing. You know, we now have these risks kind of outlaid in the assessment propose a really significant economic toll on the country as well.
That's right. And the other thing we should recognize is that climate change affects all of us. I mean, none of us are immune from these impacts, and the report makes that abundantly clear. But it also shows that the impacts are not felt equally. The report notices Northern Australia, outer urban areas, remote communities, anybody facing an existing degree of economic or social disadvantage or pre-existing health conditions are all more vulnerable, are all being hit hardest by these impacts, despite typically having contributed the least to the actual problem. Impacts on First Nations communities, as the report identifies, are particularly profound because of the impact on the health of country and the millennia-old connection that people have to where they are. Now, this does show that we have to act fast, but we also have to find solutions that are helping bust that inequality and that leave everybody stronger. Now, one of the convenient truths about action on climate change is that if we're investing in affordable renewable energy, if we're investing in our communities, if we're looking at revitalizing our regions through new clean industries, if we're really listening to Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander communities with their enormous knowledge of solutions, then we can approach this in a way that leaves everyone stronger. That means a stronger economy, but also a more equal future. Mm. Now, all of that is for the taking if we can shake off these vested fossil fuel interests and actually rise to the challenge.
In terms of a response from the Albanese government with the upcoming climate plan, I think of similar data that's been released, and a lot of response from leaders isn't necessarily equal to the risk that's kind of being responded to. What are you hoping for in terms of that climate plan?
I think you're spot on that we are thankfully through that period of flat out climate denial, except for a very small but vocal minority of people. The real risk now is climate delay, is inadequate solutions, is yes, making some progress on renewable energy, but continuing to double down on fossil fuels, including gas, on sort of framing things as practical or achievable, not as actually what's necessary and what we can really achieve and what we need to go for. So this report does lay out, probably in the clearest terms you've ever seen, just how grave the consequences are and how they cascade across society, affecting health, affecting our physical security, affecting our cost of living, affecting the places that we love. The responsible way to respond to this is to throw everything we've got at it. It's a fair, fast phase out of fossil fuels. Of course, that begins with ending the reckless approval of new projects like Woodside's Northwest Shelf. It means really tapping into our renewable energy potential. It means at the same time, supporting communities who are particularly vulnerable with adapting to the impacts that can no longer be avoided. It has to be informed by science. It has to be taking the fossil fuel interests out of the equation. It has to be recognizing that everything we do now is a safer future and seeing just the gravity of the decisions we make now. We've been a big part of the problem in the past. We can, if we want, be a big part of the solution. Australia is blessed with enormous potential to punch above our weight here. Mm. The only thing holding that potential back is the nefarious influence of the fossil fuel industry. And we've seen in the lead up to setting this 2035 target, the Business Council of Australia really acting as a mouthpiece for the fossil fuel industry, trying to put the brakes on what could otherwise be a very strong target. So the economics are favourable. There's the support from the electorate and the mandate for stronger action. We've got this almost unique opportunity in Australia with renewable energy and potential new clean industries. And of course, it is now so urgent what we do. Every decision we make now, every bit of avoided warming That's a safer, more secure, more prosperous future.
Dr. Simon Bradshaw there from Greenpeace Australia Pacific, ending that report.